Exploring the Word is brought to you by Reclaiming America for Christ and the Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond, Oklahoma. This is Pastor Paul Blair. Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Exploring the Word. Today we're going to be finishing a message that we began last time, taken from the 23rd Psalm, and of course naturally entitled, The Lord is My Shepherd.
We welcome you to the radio ministry of Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond. We invite you to join with us for today's Exploring the Word. Here's Pastor Paul Blair.
I pastor a church, but pastoring a church won't get me to heaven. I can walk all the little old ladies across all the streets I can find. Die and go straight to hell. It's not the works of the flesh, nor is it the will of man. You can pray for a son, you can pray for a daughter, you can pray for somebody to be saved, but only a person is saved when they are born again from above by receiving who Jesus is and what he did for you. And the Word, same one that created it all, same one that sustained it all, was made flesh and dwelt right here in our midst, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And the Bible says that this one became sin for us on our behalf, so that we could become the righteousness of God in him. The Bible says that he demonstrated his love toward us, that even though we were yet sinners, he died in our place. The Bible says that he gave his life so that we might live, not just for 70 or 80 years, but so that we might have eternal life. Amen. Folks, we are all God's creation, but we aren't all his sheep. We become his sheep by placing our faith and trust in the Savior, Jesus. Amen. And he assures us that his sheep hear his voice and will follow him. Ladies and gentlemen, this promise that we all quote from Psalm 23:1 is a conditional promise. What more do I need only applies to those who have the Lord as their shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Understand the picture. Sheep don't see very well. They're kind of stubborn and have a tendency to wander. You can see the great metaphor for Baptists. Wonder what kind of attendance the shepherd had for Sunday school with his flock. However, they recognize the voice of their shepherd and they follow him. He leads them out of the fold every day. They travel across rocky wilderness and barren lands. And if you are able to go with us, if the Lord tarries and we're able to do this trip in June, you'll see exactly what we're talking about. They go across the rocky wilderness and barren lands to places where they can eat and drink. And then in the heat of the day, he makes them to lie down and rest. Now, folks, I'm going to pause here for just a minute. Why does he make them lie down and rest? Because he wants to restore their souls. Listen, this is the longest place I'm going to stop and pause as we go through this, but it's one of important emphasis. It is necessary to encourage your heart in the middle of the heat of the day. The reason that most of us flirt with being run down or burnt out is failing to lie down in the heat of the day with the Good Shepherd. Understand that the whole concept of a Sabbath was not to create a spiritual tripping point for anybody that dared break it. The whole point of the Sabbath, as it says in Mark 2, it was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Man is greedy enough and maybe just self-motivated enough or whatever to work himself into an early grave for your own good. You must stop and rest yourself. With all the advancements of technology, I'm not sure it's a blessing. Do you remember when you used to actually get in the car and you'd just be forced to sit there with your own thoughts and drive for a little while? or maybe turn on the radio and listen to the radio. Now, because of cell phones, you can work constantly. With email, fax machines, instant messaging, it allows us to accomplish more in less time, so we take on more and fill the time. And we neglect to rest our bodies, and we neglect to rest our minds. And ladies and gentlemen, our bodies and our minds need rest. Even Moses got worn out and stressed out and was ready to quit. Even Elijah got worn out, stressed out, and was ready to quit. Even the Lord Jesus, at the times of some of his greatest revival meetings, immediately retreated to be off by himself and spend time alone in prayer with the Lord. We better recognize the importance of God's command to rest these bodies and to rest these minds before we break down physically or emotionally. And ladies and gentlemen of Fairview, with all the advancement in technology, we also neglect our families. And I have a tendency of being a Martha more so than a Mary. I am a worker bee. And a lot of you all are too. You know exactly what I'm talking about. We must be disciplined to not let it happen. How often do we sit down and actually eat a meal together with our kids? How often do you spend time not in each other's presence, but spend time with each other? Time this week with some very successful businessmen. And lamenting, this one gentleman, a born-again believer from a church down in the Dallas area, and talking about how his daughter doesn't know how to talk on the phone. All she does is text. And he said they'll sit down to dinner, and immediately everybody sits down and looks at their cell phones. We spend time in each other's presence, but we don't spend time with each other. We run the risk of neglecting our bodies, our minds, our own families. What do you love more than your family? What's so important that you can't set the phone down, kids and parents? By the way, I'm sitting right here on the front row. Just scoot over. Let me sit right there. That we can't take time and set aside everything else to spend some time, not just in the presence with, but with our own families. And folks, most importantly, now get this, we neglect the Lord. The green pastures and the still waters provide nourishment, provide sustenance. We need to feed our bodies, and we always do a good job of it, but we also need to feed our souls. We were created different. Don't let the evolutionists con you. We aren't animals, with the only difference between us and everything else is that we walk upright and have opposable thumbs. Hey, I got thumbs. That means I win. God, the Bible says, formed us in His image and then personally blew the breath of life into Adam's nostrils, and we became a living soul. We were created to walk in fellowship with our God. And folks, that's not just being busy for Him. That's spending time alone with Him. Let me tell you, in my preparations, there is a difference between Bible reading in preparation for a Sunday message and preparation for a Wednesday message or for a Sunday night message, and just simply sitting down and reading my Bible. And each and every one of us, I promise you, you try it sometime. You do a real contest, one day against another. And you try a day, you get up 15 minutes earlier, and you go to bed 15 minutes earlier. But before you start your day, you get up, grab your cup of coffee, wipe the sleep out of your eyes so you're not still yawning, and sit down and just start somewhere in the Bible. I love to read through Samuel and the Kings and some of the historical events. Of course, you know I love the books of prophecy. But just get in somewhere and start reading and let the Lord speak to you. Then after you've let Him speak to you, you're in a perfect position to get down on your knees and respond. you will be amazed as you go through your day, as you're faced with headaches, how the scripture that you've read that day will come to mind. And you'll be able to meditate on it and draw from it. And it will, in fact, nourish your soul. Now, I challenge you this week, try that and see if it doesn't make a difference. See if it doesn't make a difference between you deciding to just try to get up and go through the challenges of life all by yourself. We need physical rest. We need spiritual renewal. We need that time alone with the Lord every day, a time of just enjoying His presence, fellowshipping with our great God and the lover of our souls. Spend time in prayer and adoration. Spend time reading and savoring your Bible. Folks, we need it. And if we don't give it to Him, the Bible says He'll cause you to lie down. Folks, we're subject to the laws of nature. Paul said in his letter to the Corinthians that we have natural bodies. He said we had earthy bodies. You can't defy the law of gravity any more than you can defy God's warnings of exhaustion and burnout. If you don't take your Sabbath of rest, you may be forced to lie down in a hospital bed. If you don't walk daily with the Lord in personal time of devotional, you may break down emotionally. Let Him restore your soul. You get nothing else out of today's message. I hope that you get that. And let me share with you why it's so important to you, because it's so important to me. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Oh, as the shepherd is leading his flock through the rocky terrain, there are steep precipices in the mountains, especially in southern Israel. Be a dangerous place to traverse, but our good shepherd leads us down safe paths, paths of righteousness. Ladies and gentlemen, He leads us through His Word. He tells us what's right and wrong because He loves us. He leads us through the internal conviction of the Holy Spirit, tender wooing, leading, and also warning. He leads us through godly counsel of Christian friends. I wouldn't give a rip about the counsel of non-Christian friends, but I would savor the counsel of people that I respect. And by the way, I would try to have two or three of the most godly people you know as your inner counsel of friends. He leads you through a good Sunday school lesson or a good message that you hear in church or on the radio. Folks, He doesn't lead us like cattle. He lovingly leads us down paths of righteous safety, and His reputation is at stake. He will not lead you astray. You just simply need to heed His voice. As the shepherd leads his flock back to the fold late in the day, the steep hills and the stony crevices grow dark in the shadows. Wild animals await. Thieves and robbers emerge from their hiding places. But Jesus said, we don't need to worry. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Ladies and gentlemen, do you believe that? Amen. We're never alone. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And He has staked His name on that promise. We don't ever need to fear any storm of trial in this life. We don't even need to fear death itself, as He is with us and He is very capable of taking care of us. His rod of protection, His staff of correction, even in the valley of the shadow of death. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't look forward to dying, and neither do you. But when that moment comes, God will give us the grace that's needed. And He won't give it to us beforehand. I read in the scripture, Stephen, as he was departing from this life, he had never seen Jesus in heaven at the right hand of the Father. But at that moment, when he was preparing to leave this world and step into the next, God pulled back the veil and fortunately gave us a picture of it. And while Stephen was still talking in this mortal body, he could see heaven and see Jesus. He was never alone. Paul, when he had his death or near-death experience, said, there's a reason Paul knew that you could be absent from the body and immediately present with the Lord. He spoke from experience. In fact, later on, when Paul was actually facing the executioner's sword in 2 Timothy, it was no big deal. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. Folks, God will give us the grace, not beforehand, but when it's needed. It's a great story of Jack Hiles with Lester Roloff. Lester Roloff was a great evangelist in Texas, and you talk about a troublemaker. He was at odds with the American government because they were trying to gain control over his boys' homes and girls' homes and homes for adults and things of that nature. Great ministry down there. But he loved to fly. And there was one story, Brother Hiles was flying with him in a little small private plane from one meeting to the next, and they went through a storm, and they were rocking around up there, and fortunately they landed safely, and Brother Roloff said to Brother Hiles, said, Jack, did you think we were going to die up there? Brother Hiles said, absolutely not, because I was scared to death, and God promises to give me dying grace when it's that time. He will be present with us. The Bible clearly teaches it. Paul had it. Stephen had it. Jesus, who was fully a man, yet never departed from being God, said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. I must believe it and trust it to be true. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Now some believe that we see a change in metaphor here, and it could be, and the truth is the same. If you were a welcome guest, the host took the responsibility for your care. Remember when the two angels visited Lot in Sodom and he took them in and literally protected them. You remember the three visitors that visited Abram in the plains of Mamre, and Abram took them in and cared for them. The care and provision and the kinds of refreshment of oil would be understood if you were a guest of an honorable host. But there's not necessarily a change in metaphor here. The flat terraces on the hills are called tables or tablelands. Imagine while on the journey, as it grows dark, the shepherd finds a flat and builds a fold with thorns and thistles and leads his sheep inside, counting them to make sure that none are lost. And then he cares for them with oil, treating any noticeable damages or cuts that might have taken place over the course of the day, and then provides them sufficient to drink. There might be predators around the perimeter, but as long as the sheep were following the shepherd, they had nothing to fear. Amen. Folks, we are children of Almighty God through faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says, Paul says in Romans 8, there is nothing, get that word, nothing that can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Bible says that Jesus is at this very moment preparing a home in heaven for us. And one day he'll be coming again for us. Certainly our cup does run over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David concluded that although there had been some steep inclines and some rocky crevices along the way, but just like a couple of shepherd's dogs guarding the flock and bringing up the rear, there was God's goodness and God's mercy. It followed David all the days of his life. Notice that he said all the days of his life. Even those days were, in Psalm 22, David seemingly thought he was walking alone, but that at the end of life's voyage, he could look back and see that God was there walking with him all the time. In reality, ladies and gentlemen, we can all in this room say that God has been good to us and has been merciful to us in our lives. God doesn't give a single one of us what we deserve. And aren't you thankful for it? How blessed we are and how little gratitude we show. Folks, think about it. You know, you've heard them say, but it's true, even the poorest in America are among the richest in the world. There are very few of us, if any, in this room that considers themselves wealthy. But reality is we're all wealthy. Not just spiritually, but look at how God has provided for us. Do you realize that for some 12 to 1300 years, people died over trying to own even a portion of Scripture because it wasn't available to them? It was against the law to actually own a Bible. And you were put to death for translating the scriptures into something, some form that other people could read. Yet all of us, what do we have? How many Bibles do you have at home? Boy, God has been good. God has been merciful. You know the reason the pilgrims came here? It's because it was against the law for them to worship. They would gather together, and they couldn't all come in a group. They'd come 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and they'd get together, and they'd have to have the kids up on the roof of the house as lookouts, making sure that the king's guards weren't going to come and arrest them. They literally could go to jail or be branded as a heretic and a traitor or be killed because they had a desire to do what we're doing. Yet here we are. We can drive up, park in a big parking lot, walk in holding our Bible. Amen. Folks, we don't get this. We are living the exception to the rule of human history. Beginning in Acts chapter 2, Christians and Christianity have always been persecuted. If you go to Iran today, you'll be persecuted. Go to Saudi Arabia and land in Riyadh and get off the airplane and see how many steps you get walking down the runway there with your Bible under your hand. You won't make it two steps and you'll be having a nice visit with the authorities. And fortunately, as a tourist, that's all that will happen. You'll have your Bible taken from you. If you were a Saudi, you'd have your hand removed so that it would never happen again. We have the privilege to choose to live in this house or sell it and choose to live in this house. Boy, God's good. We have the privilege to go over here and apply for a job here, and if I don't like working for him, I can go over here and apply for a job over here, and if I don't like that, I can get creative and start my own business. Boy, God has been good to us. You can buy any car that you can afford. Please underscore, don't listen to the salesman on television. No money down. I love those leases. You know, you can drive a new Mercedes for only $199 a month. You got to put about $50,000 down on it, though. I say this all the time, but I marvel over this. Just in our lifetime. Now, I take that back. In my mom's lifetime. You know, when we first moved out here to Fairview in 1969, my parents dragged us kicking and screaming. Was it not? It was awful. I had changed my belief system. Purgatory was then. We came from a nice big Baptist church that actually had air conditioning. Dad, Mom brought us out here to Fairview. There were 19 people at Fairview. First Sunday morning we came out here, I was 6 years old. As a six-year-old, I was looking for the bathroom. Where's the bathroom? Out there. There's nothing out here but sunshine. Oh, yeah, go on across the parking lot. And there were two little buildings out here. But in the lifetime of many in this room, at least in the lifetime of our parents, we've gone from outhouses, using a stove to heat your house, not having air conditioning. I remember going to visit my grandmother in Fort Smith in the summertime. We'd all sit in around the kitchen table because that's where the window cooler was. Nobody would go into any of the rest of the house. We'd all be in there right around the window cooler, blowing cool air on us. But think of it now. We don't have to go outside. We don't have to put your coat on, your shoes on, to go to the bathroom anymore. Yeah. Folks, we've got it pretty good. I fed myself breakfast. I know you'll marvel at that. I got out of my bed watching my ceiling fan as I awoke this morning before the alarm went off. Talked with the Lord. Put my feet on carpeting. Walked into the kitchen and opened this magic box that keeps food cold and pulled out this white round thing that now costs $4.07 to buy a gallon of it. Only a year ago it was $2.70 something. That's inflation. And then walked to this other little room that had boxes of cereal in it. I walked to this cabinet, and there was a clean white dish, and I poured the cereal and the milk in, and this drawer and silverware, and when you do the dishes, you just put it in this thing and close it and turn it on, and voila. You know, think about how blessed we are. You walk into your closet, and you got racks full of nothing to wear. Folks, God has been good to us. God has been merciful to us. But for Christians, the best is yet to come. David said, "Goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life, but that's not all. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Praise the Lord. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it weren't so, I would have told you. I'm going and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also." Well, David, what's the final summary of life? During some times in your life, you strayed, didn't you? Well, yeah. I did. During some times in your life, you had some struggles, didn't you? Yep. Sometimes you didn't understand, did you? Yes, that's true. But looking back on my life from this side, I can see that I was never alone. My Lord, my good shepherd, was always there, always with me, always watching over me, and I know that surely goodness and God's mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Exploring the Word, and we look forward to being with you next time. Until then, God bless you.
You've been listening to the teaching ministry of Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond. We hope that today's journey in God's Word has been a blessing to you. You can find more sermons and resources at our church's website, www.fairviewbaptistedmond.org, or call 405-348-1745. Join us again each weekday for Exploring the Word from Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond.